Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
This is 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city, and welcome to the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Candelario, and I'm giddy today because I'm sitting here about to share the story of Shayla Streeter. I can't even say an elder, but she is a griot in a community that is growing into her position very, very soundly, very mindfully. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. I thank you for that introduction.
With that said, tell me a little bit about where you grew up.
So I actually grew up in the Beaver Hills section. We call ourselves the Diamond Street Crew. It was like a group. I'm the only female out of like all boys. So I'm considered like the tomboy or the tom girl of the neighborhood, right? Wrestled, played little games in the neighborhood, and we just had fun. I climbed fences, went to Beecher School, played kickball. So I was very active, climbing trees. That's who I was.
Tell me a little bit about your parents. So who do you grow up with?
So I grew up with my mom, definitely. I grew up in a one-parent household with my siblings. So I had an older, two brothers and a sister. And my dad, he was like my girlfriend. So like on Saturdays, we would go out and get our hair done. So that's James Brown. So he and I would literally go out on Saturdays, get our hair done, take me out to lunch. So I had both parents in my life. I grew up on both sides of the family, which was beautiful, but majority on my mother's side. So, yeah.
What was your mother's name?
Evelyn Streeter Frizzle. Yes.
Okay. And now tell me a little bit about Evelyn and what kind of influence did she have in your life?
You know what? Evelyn embodied, in my eyes, like growing up, and we've had this conversation, right? So, you know, growing up, she went to college, worked full time, raised the children, right? Doing it all. And she made it look easy. That easy word, right? And so, you know, I saw her as this powerhouse, like this woman who wore her suits and, you know, gravitated and moved up in her position at Yale University, went from supervisor to manager, just running stuff. And so I knew just watching her, I wanted to go to college. I wanted to be like Evelyn. But then when I think I got into the real world and started having children of my own, I was like, this is not easy. Like, it really wasn't easy. And I don't think she ever sat down and had that conversation to show me the other side, to show me that it's not always like, you know, bread and butter and where you're just smiling and it's joyful and things look good, right? There's a side where, how am I going to pay this light bill this day? Like, how am I going to afford, you know, this mortgage and also feed these children type of things? And so going through my own experience raising my own children, I experienced that, and I had breakdowns. I was just like, what the heck am I doing? And so I had that conversation with her, and she was like, I wish I did have that, like, shared that with you, you know? So, yeah, shout out to Evelyn.
What's one trait or one thing that you take with you day in and day out? I mean, there's always, like, someone remembers a saying or just an act or actions that you really embodied.
So what I will say, and I had to, like, process this, like, I have a saying, heal the child, heal the adult. Heal the child, heal the adult. So there was a saying that I grew up, right? Like, this adults are in the room, and it's like, you're seen but never heard. That was a common conversation or just a saying that you just knew. Like, you don't interrupt adults, right? You didn't have a voice, that type of thing. So I grew up just losing my voice. I have my voice now. I've always had a voice. But growing up in a household, a Southern household, parents from the South, South Carolina, it was like children stayed in their place. They never disrespected, interrupted an adult. And so because of that, it kind of morphed into other spaces, you know, whether I'm in a classroom whether I'm a bit with friends, and I shrunk myself. I found that I shrunk and hid. I learned how to hide. I learned how to hide very, very well in spaces. And it's not that I didn't want to say anything. It's just I never knew how to say something, or I felt like if I say something, it may not be, I grew up this right or wrong. Is it, if I'm saying, is it right or is it dumb? That type of thing. And even though teachers would say there's never a right or wrong answer, I wasn't sure of myself. So I will definitely just, I kind of quieted myself and I was like, all right. So just gradually, you know, became an adult, and I did this beautiful transformation work back in 2018 at Momentum Education in New York City. And I was, I'm telling you, I was like, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I had a friend who gifted me.
Before we even get there, because you're jumping on me. You're jumping the timeline on me. We're working, focusing on the youth and your youth experiences. Were there any other women in your life that really helped you gain a sense of self growing up? I mean, teachers.
I can't really say. I had, you know, my neighborhood, like my the women in the neighborhood, like the Barfields and things like that. So I grew up in a close-knit neighborhood where all the adults knew us as children, right? So if we were out in the street where we shouldn't be doing things we shouldn't be doing, like, trust me, my mother was called. So that I appreciate. But I really spent most of my summers in South Carolina. So I wasn't up in Connecticut. I was in South Carolina, Chaffee, and I spent time with my grandmother. And even during that experience, I wanted to appease my grandmother, right? Because I witnessed some things, and I just was like, you ain't going to talk about me. So I watched her, how powerful and strong she was, but then I also wanted to appease her so that she can get her approval. And in a way, love me, right? In a way. Even though Mama didn't say it, she wasn't a hugger. But I made sure her house was clean. You know, I made sure that I cleaned the house every night, did the dishes. And so for that, that was my way of showing my love to her. And in exchange, you know, she would teach me how to do farming and that kind of stuff in the backyard. And then I have my aunties. Like, I had my aunts who would come up from down south, whether it was D.C., Maryland. So I had them as my sort of like role models.
Tell me a little bit about going summers down south. I mean, it's pretty much of a culture shock for some people.
Well, you'd be surprised. So majority, like there was a big migration, right, from South Carolina, North Carolina, that they moved up north. And so for me, my mom, she said I used to smother her. And I probably was. I was a baby, right? I was the youngest. And I was always underneath her, and she was like, I just need a breathe. So she would send me down every summer. And I remember just going down there, didn't want to go, but had a chance to connect with my cousin who was older. And we stayed in on Chaffee in the house. And the experience growing up there was just like, you really had to be adventurous. You had to be creative, right? So I learned how to cut grass. So I cut grass. I would find ways to like walk to the road, and I was always a loner. So I would make up songs, or I would like think of stories in my head, things like that. And I just would create. I was out in the field doing stuff, and it was just it was a beautiful experience. It was. I appreciate those summers. Yeah.
Times have changed. Shipping kids down south is not an option anymore.
I tried.
So what schools did you go to here? You say you went to Beecher?
I went to Beecher Elementary. And then my middle school was Sheridan Middle, which is, I go there, I can't even recognize it. And then I went to high school and community. My first choice was Hill House. My mother was like, you know, because of my shyness, I was very shy and quiet. She was like, I really think a smaller school would be fitting for you. And it actually was. I love HSC. I was like, HSC brought out a whole nother creativity. It was a whole different type of community at that school. You know, like there are certain friends that I still stay connected with. So, and I appreciate it, but I played sports for Hill House for 4 years. So Hill House is also my community as well.
That's a good thing about HSC. We didn't have a gym of our own. So.
Nope.
You would have to do the sports clubs at the other places. HSC is a unique experience for some people. You got to call your teachers by first name. And I mean, yeah. you really were thrust into being an adult, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you had to mature a lot quicker than most people. I guess that's the way they dealt with it. How were those paradigms that you had to construct early on in order to navigate? How do you, you know, I know that you went to Momentum School and redid everything, but how important is it to get those nice foundation paradigms together early on?
Well, you know, like going to HSC, like you said, we call teachers by their first name. We had those block periods where, you know, there were 3-hour classes. You know, we had different classes that had, you know, it wasn't like a traditional English class, right? But you had like African-American studies, right? Where you learn about different parts of Africa and you created a mask and those type of things. So I think culturally, I appreciate those values and those things. And then just transitioning off to college, it was a easier transition, you know, to accommodate and move into the sort of secondary schooling type mm-hmm. of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta say, HSC definitely pulled out like this sort of paradigm of creativity in me. And so, like I tell people, I went to school with students who drove hearses and went to prom. Like you know what I mean? Like, so it wasn't no culture shock to see other, you know, communities or go into different spaces because you saw everything at HSC. It was pretty much, you had to be open to see these different experiences, right? And I explained that people like, really? I was like, yeah. And it was just like, we were all cool and everybody was friendly. We had our little pockets of groups, but overall, we still was a community, you know? And we were the last class to graduate.
From Mechanic Street, yep.
Yes, yes.
This is 94.3 WYBC, The Rhythm of the City. This is the Electric Drum. This is Shayla Streeter, who we're listening to, and her story. Now, you say in 2018, you started doing some real, what we call soul searching in some areas, but it's more now self-care and self-love and self-development.
Yes.
How did you come about this this form of study?
Well, I had a really good friend, Emily Foreman, who lives in New York and went through this program and was like, I want to give you this gift. And I was like, no, I don't need no help. I'm good, you know? And so it was resistance. And during that time, I had a lot of loss. I lost family members. And I think the last loss was my bestie who had breast cancer before 30. And I think for me, it was like all this loss for me. And then looking at myself, it was like, I don't like the certain same outcomes that keep happening. Even though I'm doing things supposedly differently, I'm getting the same outcome. That was like sort of like the catalyst. And so I was like, that one night we went to the West Haven Beach and I was like, it's a yes, I'll go. And I remember going. It's a 4-day workshop called Momentum Education. I took the subway on a Thursday to Manhattan and I walked in and I didn't know what I was about to get myself into. Like, what the heck? And I walked into the space and they set us down and the instructor, he started it. And on the top, there was a banner. It's like, what is it that you're pretending not to see? That was the question.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, right, like, what is it that I'm pretending not to see within myself? And so I went through this 4-day workshop. And literally, when I tell you, it was like one of those eye openers, and we say awareness, it was like that aha moment. Like, this is the time where I need to make some changes in my life. And with that, it was through all these different type of workshops and activities. They call them dyads, where you work one-on-one and you go through this sort of like, you know, conversational piece. And at that point, I was just like, how am I showing up in the world? Do I like the person I showed up in the world? You know? And so I saw myself in those moments of those like different activities. I went to the corner. I kept my mouth closed. I didn't want to say, you know, it was like, it came back like that inner childhood. Like, I didn't want to say something to be wrong type of thing. And so I silenced myself and I was like, this can't be. I didn't enjoy seeing myself, but I had a chance to see myself and say, you know what? things got to change. And so I finished that workshop, and then I kept going back. I went through all three of their four workshops. And that was from 2018, I think, all the way to 2019. And I got to say, like, the Shayla that was back in 2018 and the one at 2025, like, it took work, but I'm here. Like, I get to find my voice, right? I get to express and be loving. And that was one thing, was like, who is Shayla? Who is my being when I show up in these spaces, right? And I had to work on that. I had to work on knowing that I matter, right? And so, because there was times where I didn't feel like I matter. And so just all those awarenesses, and I'm about to like, but it's real. Yeah.
We'll take a moment right now. As I've always known you to be, and it's crazy because you have always been a very kind, sweet, and loving person, as I have known you to always be. But to not see that in yourself and have to grow into it, and knowing that the work is never done.
Right.
I mean, you started 2018, but the path always leads to the next thing of self-discovery.
Right.
How was that first step of acknowledgement that maybe, because remember, you said it was resistance, right?
Mm-hmm.
How was that first step to acknowledge, you know what, maybe there's a better version of me out there?
It was scary. It was scary to ask for support, right? Right. And to also be vulnerable with people. Like, that's a scary thing. That's not, because you, at the end of the day, you know, for me, it was like, well, how will the person other side receive that? Will they be supportive, right? And I had to get out of my head and saying, it's not for them, it's for me. That's what I had to change, right? And I think part of that is, you know, going back to grandma's house and appeasing grandma, it was always me out doing the outer work, trying to appease everyone else, but never Shayla. And so I had to really, really go back and say, it's about knowing how to, long as I get it out, right? And I say it in a loving way, right? Loving, you know, making sure that when I show up, that I know the being that I'm in that space, whoever I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm.
That's clear, right? So, and through that, I've learned to develop to be my honest, authentic self. And that's the truth.
The honest, authentic self.
Yeah.
And there was nothing wrong, right? We had this discussion earlier that there's no right or wrong in this.
It's a journey. It's experiences. I love it. Life is, I wouldn't change anything in my life whatsoever. Whatsoever.
Mm.
I would never.
Because everything, you know, we always know that everything leads to something else. Now, in this role of journey, we are working on ourselves, but yet the people seem to be stagnant in their own. How do you deal with that and just still work, you know, not giving up on your self-work, even though a majority of your environment is, you know, doesn't change as much?
Right. So I read this book called The Four Agreements by Miguel Ruiz, right? And so that, I made my children read that as well. And it's kind of like to not think, take things personal, right? Like, people are at their state where they're at, right? We all have a journey. We all have our own individual journey. Shayla took her own journey. My roadmap is not the same roadmap for anyone else, right? That was my roadmap. The same way for my children, right? They're going to have their own sort of roadmap type of thing. And so for me, when I'm dealing and interacting with people, I just love them from where they're at. You know, at the end of the day, like, I love you for where you at, my sister, my brother. And I just, and keep being, I keep moving. That's it. And that's why I'm grateful to be in this space. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of Abraham Hicks, but she talks about being in the vortex, right? It really, really exists. It really, really exists, and to that point where when there is alignment, things just allow, and you just allow and let the universe make its movement. You meet people, you connect with people, you make a phone call, like, it just happens, right? And you're just like, wow, I give thanks. So I give thanks, and I'm in full gratitude for this whole life experience. Yeah.
You're listening to 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. This is the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Candelario, and right now I'm speaking with Shayla Streeter, and we're going through it together, mm-hmm. as we always do. And we're always talking about healing, right? We were talking about trauma, mm-hmm. and how we move forward, and how there's different ways, you know, cognitive behavior therapy. But how important is sharing your story and you listening to other people or giving platforms for people to share their stories?
We heal through conversations, right? Because we find that through stories and when we share our stories, we're not alone. And that was another catalyst for momentum. Like I heard people share stories that was similar to mine. And then when you hear how people triumph or how they were able to move forward, it's like, well, heck, like if they can do it, then I can do it kind of thing. So it kind of gives, it gives inspiration. It doesn't kind of, it does. It gives inspiration. It motivates people and inspires people. And through that, like, it's like, and if you add food to it, okay, that's a whole nother level, right? but for me, let's start with the conversation. So conversation and storytelling is just, to me, we've seen it taking off and people are sharing more stories and being more vulnerable to talk about it because there's data to show that there's healing and connecting. People want to connect. That's the sense of community. It's about connecting, right? Mm-hmm. It's about mm-hmm. connecting in this sense where we may have a parallel story or we might share this type of thing, whether we have children together and we have the same ages and we get to, you know, break bread and have conversations and just get the woo-saw type of mm-hmm. thing to release because releases are very important. We mm-hmm. got to let it out. Mm-hmm. And so I think storytelling allows for all of that. You know, it's a big, broad umbrella. But under it, it's like the common thing is like it's the healing through shared stories.
You focus a lot on our elder, mm-hmm. our elders and listening to their stories.
Yes.
How do they empower you?
That's wisdom. That is wisdom, right?
And free.
You said free wisdom?
Free. It's free.
Right. It's free. Right. Free wisdom. That part. And for me, I grew up with a grandmother who did not talk. Did not talk. Like, she watched her church TV. It was on 24 hours a day. And she did not talk. And so I think for me, I connected more to elders because I want to hear their stories. Like, I want to hear... They have a lot more, not a lot, but they've been on this earth longer, right? So there is wisdom, hopefully, to share. And for me, I have a group of elders that I check up on. I talk about, do we honor them enough, right? So in the, like, when I was studying and reading the scriptures, it was like, you got to honor the elders and the youth. Those are two main group of people that need to be protected. And so what I'm finding is that, is our youth being protected and is our elderly people being protected? And for me, I gravitate to the elderly because I want to honor them. I don't know if they're getting enough honor and recognition. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're going back and checking on them and making sure that they're okay or if they need anything. Because a lot of times, even in that age group, my mother, you know, you need anything? No, I don't want to bother you. I don't want burden. You got your own life type of thing. But it's like, but that is our responsibility is to go back and check in on them. That is our responsibility. And so I do. I have a pocket of these elders that I call. What do you need? How are you doing? Sometimes a quick check-in call. Like, they just want to make sure to know that they're that you recognize them, right? And so I just, they're like softness in my heart. I'm just, I love them.
The power of attention mm-hmm. can turn someone's life around, mm-hmm. can elongate a life. Can empower a young person to make a better decision. Mm-hmm. How does that role of attention that maybe you did not get, right? Right. Because you weren't guaranteed attention growing up, and mm-hmm. it sounded like mm-hmm. it was not guaranteed.
Right.
But how important is it now for you to understand the power of attention?
Well, the power of attention is just recognizing that, you know, we all seek it. We all, you know, it's something that needs to be valued and treated with respect. And so, you know, identifying what the need is. I think for me, because I didn't have it, it's more of an awareness for me to recognize how to show up for others, right? And how to offer it to others. And so, I it's just, for me, it's just a tool that I picked up that I'm just like, I want to pay more attention, whether it's to my children or, you know, pick up a phone call, that kind of stuff, because there is value in it, and there's healing and respect for it. There's respect and there's healing in it. And for that, I'm grateful to be in that platform and space to be able to have that awareness. Because the old Shayla probably wouldn't be, but to be in the state right now and to give that attention to understanding what is needed. And again, it's my assumption. I think that that they need it, right? But that's my own assumption because I'm based on what I needed, you know? But 9 times out of 10, you know, when you offer support to someone, you'll be surprised. They'd be like, yes.
One thing that I've ever understood or come to an understanding recently is that you can't focus on self-development or sharing if you don't have basic needs met. Mm-hmm. And one of them is food and mm-hmm. nutrition.
Oh, yes.
So you bring the two together. Mm-hmm. Do you see how they correlate and how important is the two together?
So the food part was my journey to learn about nutrition, right? So I got out of college, became a vegan, and at that point, it was just like I knew nothing about nutrition. I knew nothing about food. I just knew I wanted to be a vegan, right, because I read these books. And when I did that, I started having children, but not having the basic fundamentals of what nutrition is. And so I developed and got sick from literally not having the basic, just nutrition, right? Understanding about eating your vegetables, eating your fruits. Now, mind you, I did eat vegetables, but the amount that you're supposed to eat, no, I didn't eat that much. So I was into more like the processed soy and the boca and all those type of fake meats, and I paid the price for it. So when I got pregnant, my first son, I wound up having like high blood pressure after I delivered him. And so I sought out herbs. That was my first platform. I was like, oh, I want to study herbs. I want to do that. And I figured out, okay, I can use this herb to heal my blood pressure. And it did. It stabilized. It was good. But I never changed my nutrition. I never changed my eating, right? And so, yes, you can use herbs. But if your eating still is still crappy, it... And so I got pregnant with my second son, Araya, who was 18. And I delivered him and wound up, the blood pressure came back, the issue. And I was like, okay. I went back to my basic. I'm like, I'm going to try the horse, you know, my natural herbs and get it right. And it's going to work. It did not work. Did not work. So I was like, okay. And so because I didn't have the support to teach me about nutrition or a doctor kind of teach me, because they push drugs down us. Like they push drugs, like medicine, medicine, medicine. And so I wound up taking blood pressure medicine. And that part is where it all started, where I was like, okay, I do not want to see my life taking blood pressure medicine mm-hmm. for the rest of my life. I had my mother on blood pressure, my grandma, like I had the whole family. I did not want to be another member taking blood pressure medicine. And so I stayed on it. And when I finally got, not finally, but when I had my third child, Amaya, I was told to stop taking it. And when I stopped taking it, that's when the issue started coming, where I started retaining fluid and it was hard for me to walk. I couldn't breathe. And I wound up having her prematurely at 7.5 weeks. Because I had what is called preeclampsia. And as much as I explained to the doctors I didn't feel well, it got dismissed because it was like, well, that's normal. The baby sits on your diaphragm, mm-hmm, that yada, mm-hmm, yada, mm-hmm. yada. No one heard me. I knew I did not feel well. I did not feel well. And so I wound up having her at 7.5 weeks. And through that, I was like, okay, what is going to change? So I wound up going from one blood pressure medicine to 5. I had 5 different medicines. They could not get my blood pressure down whatsoever. And I'm like, okay. And for me, I had to go, I wound up seeing a cardiologist because even after having my daughter, they released me from the hospital. I go home, less than 24 hours, the fluid went to my heart. So I had congestive heart failure with my daughter. And so with that, I'm like, all right. And so that was my catalyst to, like, I got to learn about food. I got to learn that this medication is not going to be my life of me. And mm-hmm. so through that, I knew the importance of, like, nutrition, eating more food, eating more, getting more fiber, like, all that basic. All the things that we learned in school mm-hmm. that we probably, I didn't pay attention to, I knew I needed to get that in my life. And so I created this thing called Breaking Bread Series, where every meal was a plant-based dish. Oh.
We're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario. This is the Electric Drum. This is Shayla Streeter sharing her story of how she culminated now all her knowledge. And now the cup runneth over, as they say, mm-hmm. into this experience called the
Breaking Bread.
And this is a monthly series that you have, right?
Yes.
In which you have individuals come in and you share nutrition ideas and philosophies along with storytelling and yeah. sharing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, two things that go well in hand, because I don't haven't been to a sit-down table dinner and not have shared a story. So
it's, let me tell you, it was a vision. But yeah, it's called a Seat at the Table, Breaking Bread Remix. And what it is, yes, culminating where you get all plant-based dishes. So it's four plant-based dishes prepared by one of my guest chefs who create this beautiful menu. And the remix part, which I love, is we take one of the elders' favorite dishes, and we veganize it. So it becomes vegan, right? And so, you know, part of that, though, is just teaching about nutrition and health. And again, I'm not looking to convert
mm-hmm.
veganism. I'm not looking – remove the boxes, right? But what I have learned in my research is that there's a lot of ailment and diseases that's going on within our community. And food, because food is the foundation, and some of us, like myself, didn't know the foundation of food, just the basics of food, and knowing that you should eat 2 or 3 cups of vegetables a day, right? And just fruits as well. How do we incorporate this and make it fun where you can now go home and make it for yourself?
Sounds like a plan. What are the contact information for you? Okay. What's the website? You got a website or email?
So I have an email. Yes. You can do it's a long one. So be fair. It's Divine Interventions, but it's not spelled how you think it is. It's spelled DIV9INE interventions, but it's with an E. So it's ENTERVENTIONS@gmail.com.
Is there a phone number that we can reach out to you?
Yes, 203-433-2376.
And you're on Facebook?
I am on Facebook. So I'm on Facebook as Shayla Streeter.
Okay.
Yes. And then Instagram, you can follow me, is Divine, DIV9_ENT.
Very good.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
This has been the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario, and we just heard the very insightful words of Shayla Streeter, growth through her journey, spiritually, physically, and now how she shares with the community. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And like always, to everyone out there, thank you for listening.